Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We're taking as our text a wee phrase that occurs in verse 26 and also in verse 27. It's just those three words, yet once more. With our Bibles open, let's unite together at the throne of grace and prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we are conscious tonight especially of the fact that the sands of time are sinking. And our God, we realize that the sands of time go by so swiftly. And we pray, gracious God, that even that we may be conscious of that fact as we come into our meeting tonight, as we have come to thy word. We ask thee that the consciousness of the urgency of salvation may be very real. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And O God, give grace and help today, and shut us in with thee. For in Jesus' precious name, I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. We have noticed this little phrase is repeated here, is used on two occasions, the wee word, yet once more. And the reference here is given in the context of the giving of the law, but to Moses at Sinai. And in Psalm 68, verse 8, it describes the scene at Sinai, how God shook the earth. It says in that verse, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. And we think of how the very earth shook at the majesty and the might and the holiness and the justice of the God of heaven. But there in this verse we have a prophecy that the Lord will shake the heavens and the earth. He'll shake the earth again, but he'll not only shake the earth, but he'll shake the heavens. And the reference here is actually to a prophecy. It's a prophecy that's found in Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says in that verse, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little time, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." And God, who shook the world in a day gone by, will shake the world again in a day to come. And God is the God of repetition. And thank God he repeats things. You know, in Job chapter 33 and verse 14, it says, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." And I'm glad that God repeats things. Not only does he repeat by demonstration of his power, as he did by shaking the earth, and as he will in days to come shake the earth, but he also repeats himself in declaration. He comes with his word, and there are many here, and you've heard his voice. You've heard his voice when time's gone by. You've heard his voice last year, maybe the year before, in other days, in other meetings, in missions. You've heard the voice of God. God has been speaking to you and has been dealing with you in a day gone by. But I want you to see what God says here, yet once more. You know, as time slips on, so our opportunities go by. So our opportunities go out into eternity. And there comes a time when we have a last opportunity. And a last time when we can hear the gospel, hear the word of God, hear the proclamation of God's truth. And God says here, yet once more. And as you come to the start of 2005, who knows, but it may be your last opportunity, your last time when you'll hear the gospel proclaimed and the challenge of the word of God will come to your heart. God says, yet once more. Once more God is going to speak. Once more God is going to deal with your heart. Once more. And I thought of that and I realized as we come tonight, there's an urgency upon us. As time slips by, that we need to proclaim the message of the gospel with all our heart, for the night cometh when no man can work. Dear man or woman, young person in this meeting outside of Christ, the Lord says, yet once more. Yet once more. There are a number of things about that phrase, yet once more, that I want you to think about for a few minutes tonight. I want you to see that yet once more you have another opportunity to hear. As we said, God repeats Himself. This phrase here is repeated in the text. It's spoken of in verse 26 and 27. And again we said it was a repetition of what Haggai had said way back hundreds of years before. And so the message of the gospel is rung out down through the age. The message of redemption. The message of God's good news. God comes yet once more. And I'm glad of that tonight. I'm glad that you have another opportunity. As you've come, God has given you another chance to hear. Now, what is it that you're going to hear? What is it that God wants you to hear? Well, I want you to notice that in the context here, specifically, that what He wants you to hear is a word of prophecy. It's a prophetic message. Because when He spoke the words here, He's referring to what the prophet had said, whose voice then shook the earth, but now His promise said, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And it speaks about a time which is yet to come, when God shakes the heavens and the earth. And the Bible speaks about the earth and the heavens being rolled up like a scroll. And that's a message that has been brought down through the ages. Many of the prophets spoke about a time when God would shake the heavens and the earth. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of His majesty, when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. And God says He will shake the earth, and He'll shake it terribly. Again, Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 13, He says, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, in the day of His fierce anger. There's a day when men and women will have to face the anger of God, when the earth itself will shake under the look of the wrath of God Himself. Take another example in Joel chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. And of course, there's the fulfillment of it in Revelation 16 and verse 18, or at least the description of the fulfillment of it. And He says, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the mighty God of heaven is a God who is able to shake the earth and will shake the earth. And dear man or woman, the very foundation that you stand upon, the thing that you think is so sure, the very ground on which you stand can be shaken under the mighty hand of God. And how terrible that is. You know, we think of the disaster that has taken place out in the Indian Ocean and the death toll that has reached 150,000 people or more. And I was interested during the week to listen, just the radio came on in the morning with the alarm clock, and there was a commentator on, and the flood had just taken place, the tsunami had taken place just a few days before. And this commentator was giving his opinion about the fact that this demonstrated that man is not in charge of all eventualities. He said that man likes to think that he's in charge of everything, that he can control things, or at least predict when things will take place. And he said if there was ever a wake-up call for people to realize that they're not in charge of everything, that they can't control all eventualities, something like this is something that will wake men and women up. See, the trouble with people in our rich West is that we are too well off. And that's why so many people around us do not think about the things of God or have no consideration of where they'll spend eternity. It's because they have no thought of the fact that things can go wrong, that they can suffer poverty or be brought down by things that are out of their control. We have the opinion that we can control everything, that we can just click a switch and it'll be all right, or if something goes wrong, that we can just get out of it some way or other. But my dear friend, when we realize that God is a God who can shake the earth, and we realize we're not in control, we don't have our hand upon all things. God is so little thought of in Britain today because of the fact that man thinks that he can run his own life. Maybe you're here tonight and you think you can run your own life. But God can shake the very foundations of the earth, and one day he will shake the heavens and the earth. Oh, maybe you're here tonight and there are certain principles that you live by. Probably principles that are based upon even the Word of God in this Christian influenced country in which we live. And maybe those are the principles that you are going to stand on, but no principle will bring you through. No principle, no moral principle will bring you through when God begins to shake. It's only those that stand upon Christ, the solid rock, that will be able to stand. The Bible says, for no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There's no other foundation. You think of those people, they're left with nothing. They're left without family. They're left without food. They're left without shelter. Where do you stand? Where would you stand if that happened to you? You need a friend. You need a Savior. You need one who can bring you through, a solid foundation in every time of need. And so these people, when they heard this message about the shaking of the earth, it was a prophetic message, but it was also a profound message. You see, the God who can shake the earth is a God who can shake us too. He can shake our wee world. He can shake what we're doing. He can shake our delusions, our dreams, the way that we go. And there's so many people, and they're living in the delusion today. And we need to be shaken. Dear man or woman, you need to be shaken today. There are people that have all sorts of fool notions about how they'll get through life. There are people that say, well, politics will solve it. If we have this political movement or that political political solution, that will be the way that we ought to go. There are people, I heard them even today on the radio speaking about the United Nations, and if the United Nations is the be-all and end-all, no United Nations will bless or help you in the day when you come to the end of your existence. There were those, we think of the last general election, the Westminster election, there were people standing for transcendental meditation, and they suggested that if people learned to do yogic flying, that we'd have a whole happy world. Well, I don't know where they're flying to, but they're obviously flying in the clouds. Because all these things will go their own way. There's only one real message. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one way to get right. For there's a profound message. Our sins have separated between us and our God. He does not hear us. But thank God there's a way that Christ has made at the cross, by which you can be saved. And this is a shaking message. You've often heard about an earth-shattering message. Well, there's an earth-shattering message. The message that Jesus saves. It's a message you've heard before. But thank God today it's still effective. It's still able to do the business. And you can get saved tonight. You're enmity against them. But this can shake your life and make you a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a prophetic message, a profound message, but it's a pardoning message. You know, when it speaks there about shaking the heavens and the earth, there's a mention there of a kingdom of grace. The Lord has come to make us a kingdom. He says, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. And Christ has come that we might have grace. He's given grace at the cross. And those that come to Christ, he will in no wise cast out. Dr. Chamberlain was a missionary in India many years ago. And he was down by the Ganges River
preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the pilgrims were coming. Of course, in India they go down to the Ganges River. They do their devotions. The Hindus, they do their devotions down in the Ganges River, and it's counted as sacred. And this old man had come down to the Ganges River in order to find peace for his heart. And he was so weak that he'd come along on his hands and knees. And he prayed a prayer to Ganga, the god, and crept into the Ganges in order to find relief for his heart and for his soul. And a moment later he came up out of the river, and he was in absolute despair. For in the Ganges River he hadn't found anything for his soul. And then he heard the missionary preaching. And as he preached about pardon and the simple message of the cross, he rose from his knees and he clapped his hand and he says, "That's what I want. That's what I want." Isn't it what you want? Is it not what you want? Do you not want pardon for sin? Do you not want forgiveness? Do you not want a message that will bring you from death to life? Colossians 1 verse 20 says, "Of Christ having made peace through the blood of His cross." And thank God for the message tonight that you have to hear. You have another chance to hear the message of pardon, the message of grace, the message of salvation in this meeting tonight. Yet once more, another chance to hear. But then I want you to see something else. Yet once more, you have another chance to heed. And man and woman, thank God tonight that you have not only a chance to hear the message, but you have a chance to heed it. You see, as you hear the message of the gospel tonight, you might sit there and do nothing about it. But thank God you have another message to heed it. That's what you need to do. Not just sit there and listen to what God has done or what He has achieved, but you need to get hold of what Christ has achieved. You need to enter into the cross and the cross work of Calvary, and you need to come to the one who's able to forgive you of your sins. You notice what the writer to the Hebrews says here. Look at verse 25. He says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not or refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." And the word "see" there in the text is a word that means take heed. The Lord says, take heed. Take heed tonight. You need to take heed to the word of God. And that word there where it says, "See that ye refuse." The word "refuse" means see that you don't deprecate it or treat it as nothing or dislike it. He says it's not just that you refuse it or turn your back upon it, but it's the very fact that you dislike it. He says don't do that. The word can also be translated, "See that you don't make excuse about it." There are many people, many of you here tonight, and what you're doing is that you make excuses. Why are you not saved? And there's this excuse and that excuse. You speak about the people that you know that profess to be saved. You speak about the fact of the depth of your sins. Excuses, dear friend. And the love that the Bible says, take heed. Don't make excuses. Or again, the word which means refuse here can also in the Greek mean see that you don't avoid it. Take heed that you don't avoid it. Oh, don't avoid it. There are many people that even sitting in meetings and you seek to avoid the question, avoid the directness of the gospel message, and you'll avoid what it's saying. No, God says, take heed, don't avoid it. You face up to it, dear friend, tonight. Face up to the gospel message. God says you have another chance to heed. Don't refuse it. Don't make excuses about it. Listen to it. And thank God as you listen, God bid you to come. You know, in the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, we have a wonderful verse. It says, "Come on, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." D.L. Moody said that the Bible is full of the blessed word, come. And you know you can come to God. You say, I can't. You say, I can't. And in many ways you can't. Because the Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. The Bible speaks about the scarlet dyed sinner. Though your sins be as scarlet. And scarlet's a double dye.
You're a double-dyed sinner. And in yourself, you can't come to God. Why then does God bid you to come? Because He will give you the strength. He will give you the help if you come to Him. You know, God often asks people to do what they can't do. You remember there was a man in the temple one time, and he had a withered hand. And the Lord said, "Stretch out thy hand." That's the very thing he couldn't do. That's the very thing that was wrong with him. He couldn't stretch out his hand. But the Lord said, "Stretch out thy hand." And as he by faith began to stretch that hand, the hand became whole again, and he stretched it out. And that's what God can do to you. You can't come in yourself. You'll never come by yourself. But if by God's grace God gives you the help to come, you can come. You can come. If you're willing tonight, you'll be able to come. And not only does he say come, but he says repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." Your old sins. Now, repentance means sorrow of heart. It also means a turning away from the sin. You've got to leave behind the old paths. And isn't it a good time of year to leave behind the old paths? Oh, dear friend, you look past the year that's gone into eternity. I'm sure there are many things that you'd be sorry about. There are things that you would have done better if you had the opportunity to do it again. Maybe as you look back, there are many failures, many faults. And those things are just the old sins. They're sins. Well, we like to paint them up a wee bit and say, well, that's a little failure, a little fault. And we look, everybody's filled with faults. No, everybody's filled with sin. It's sin that's in our hearts, not faults, it's sin. But the Bible says, repent. Turn away from those things and come to the Lord. Now, no Christian is perfect. We have to walk day by day. We're not claiming that Christian is perfect. But thank God that those that come to Christ receive the forgiveness of their sins. And they're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. You have another chance to heed that. You have another chance tonight to repent and come to God. And the Bible says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." How could you refuse this? How could you refuse the God of love and mercy that has made it possible that you might be saved? Time is short, men and women. Time is short. So surely tonight ought to be the night when you get saved. Surely tonight is the night when you need to get right with God. God says, yet once more. Once more. Is this the last time when you'll hear the message of salvation? We've another chance to hear. Yet once more, we have another chance to heed. But yet once more, we have another chance to have. You can have something. Something of infinite worth. Look at verse 28. He says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." There is a chance to have something, dear friend, a kingdom which cannot be moved. You know what that is? It's a privilege. Here's God offering you what? A kingdom. A kingdom. You know, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what we are really doing is putting ourselves under the rule of the King of God, or the King of Heaven, rather. We come and put ourselves in His kingdom. We're under His sovereign rule. But you know what else? He makes us kings and princes unto God. We become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know this kingdom? What does it say about it? It's a kingdom which cannot be moved. An everlasting kingdom. A kingdom will never come to an end. You think of the earthly kings, and one day their kingdom will come to an end. One day they'll have to leave it behind, and a new heir will come on. But this is a kingdom that will last for all eternity. And once more, you have another chance to have that. Mighty blessings. Eternal blessings. You can have that. Without money and without price. You have a chance to have a mighty privilege. But also you have another chance to have mighty power. Power to live a Christian life. He says in verse 28 there, "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear."
And you can have the power to live as a Christian. You say, preacher, I couldn't live as a Christian. Yes, you can. If God gives you the power to live acceptably with reverence and godly fear, we're kept by the power of God. God gives you the grace to be able to live the Christian life. Now you have an opportunity to have that. The Christian life, eternal life, the blessings of God, a kingdom which cannot be moved. Your friend, you're being offered eternal life, eternal bliss, eternal happiness. Why will you not have these things? Yet once more, another chance to have. But listen, here's the warning, dear friend. He says, yet once more. There has to be a limit to the offer. There has to be a limit to the times when God comes and speaks. He says the Spirit will not always strive with man. Yet once more. Yet once more. You don't know when that last time will be. That last opportunity will come. And this may be the last time. Or this year may be the last year when you have an opportunity to get right with God. Yet once more. And then there's another warning. Never take the fact that God comes time and time again as an indication of weakness. You know, if you had somebody trying to sell you something and you kept refusing them and they came back and came back and came back and kept offering it to you, you would take that as an indication of a weakness. You'd say, well, that body is desperate to get rid of that thing. They're trying to sell it to me and I'll just wait a wee while and the price will drop and I'll be able to get it for a bargain. Of course, that's the way it works maybe in the business circles. And we might look at God like that. He comes again and again. You come to meetings like this and time after time the same offer has been made and the preacher is preaching and he's telling you that you have another opportunity this night. You have another opportunity to get right with God. And you might say, well, that's kind of like a sign of weakness. I'll just wait to another day. Just wait to another time. And I'll be able to take my own time and come in my own, at my own opportunity and get right with God. You might take it as a sign of weakness that God comes again and again and again. It's no sign of weakness, dear friend. It's no sign of weakness. Just the mercy of God. God could cut you off now, just like that, in a moment of time. And has done with many. Has done with many. But you have another opportunity tonight. It's only the grace of God that gives you that opportunity. Yet once more. Once more. God is offering His mercy. Once more you have an opportunity to get right with God. Will you come tonight? Will this be the night of your salvation when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and into your soul? May it be so for His name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we bless Thee for the opportunities that are given in the gospel. We bless Thee that men and women have another opportunity to hear Thy word. They have another opportunity to heed Thy word. And they have another opportunity to have Thy salvation. We pray, Lord, that they might come to Thee, seek Thee, call upon Thy name. And our Father, that this might be the night when they're saved by the grace of God. Lord, have mercy. Bless tonight. For in Jesus' precious name, I would ask these things. Amen.